He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus is the one historical fact that we place the entire weight of Christianity. We believe in Jesus because he rose from the dead. We worship on Sunday because this is the day that he rose from the dead on. We call the Bible the Word of God because Jesus rose from the dead, and that's what he called this book. And we have every reason to believe that the resurrection happened. We have the eyewitness accounts from the apostles who wrote it down. We have evidence from history that supports everything they said. Even the hostile witnesses in Jesus' day and beyond had to acknowledge that the tomb is empty. And every attempt to prove otherwise has turned out to be a hoax. The resurrection is so clear that people today who want to say that Jesus never existed also have to acknowledge that by their same standards, there would be nothing at all that could ever be known from history. And that's a step too far. The fact is, a man rose from the dead after being crucified. And there were witnesses. And this man who rose had told everyone before it happened that he would be crucified, die, and on the third day rise from the dead. This man claimed to be God. And this man pointed out in the books that we now call Scripture that this was his plan since creation itself. Since he did rise, you know what? He might be telling the truth. No one else has risen from the dead like he has. And it is true that even from the beginning of creation itself, he's been pointing out that this was going to happen. From the very first day, there was evening, and then there was morning. The first day. Darkness overcome by light. Death was changed to life. Later, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, the Lord still pointed us forward. Death, then life. The world suffering under our sin, but then the head of the serpent crushed by the seed of the woman. This promise was then made later to Abraham. Death, then life. That him and Sarah, in their old age, beyond the hope for a life of their family continuing, would have a son. And to top it all off, from this new family, the world would be saved. This promise was made even more clear to Moses, chapter upon chapter, book after book, all in excruciating detail. Slavery, then Exodus. Wilderness, then promised land. Death, then life. Every verse pointing us forward to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Even in the details that we would happily overlook, thinking them nothing, all of those details were given to foreshadow Easter day that we celebrate today. There's one in particular that in our gospel lesson, we see it reflected in the Old Testament. We read today that the angels were standing in the tomb, one on each side of the place where Jesus lay. And yet in the same scripture that Jesus says is all about him, this scene is pictured at least 1,500 years before it actually happened. It was pictured in one of the most prominent places of all, right on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Here's some of those details that we didn't think were important when we read them by themselves. The Lord told Moses, "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its breadth. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work you shall make them on the 2 ends of the mercy seat. The cherubim shall spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat with their wings, their faces one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. Inside the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I will give you, commandment for the people of Israel." The Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of the Lord was found. It resided in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle in the temple. It was seen by the high priest once per year in there. The Day of Atonement, when the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled before. This was the place in the Old Testament where forgiveness for all people was proclaimed. Death, then life. I wonder, this was the place where the Lord would give all that he had to say to the people of Israel. Because this was the same promise since the beginning. In this case, the mercy seat was designed to show Easter morning to the people, nearly 1.5 millennia before it happened. That scene sculpted in gold on top of the ark was the exact scene the women walked into on the day that Jesus rose. 2 angels standing over the place where Jesus rested, the place where Jesus' blood was sprinkled while the remainder was poured out at the place of the sacrifice. Jesus' death, and then life on the 3rd day. The promise of God made since the beginning of the world is fulfilled. And we know the place. We know the time. Almost 2,000 years ago, around Jerusalem, Jesus rose from the dead. That's nice for Jesus. But what about us? We live in this world of death still. Where's our life at? Where's our resurrection? And to that we must say it is both now and not yet. It is not yet because we have not yet seen our resurrection. We haven't seen the resurrection of those who have gone before us in the faith. However, we also hear that Jesus is the first fruits. We're next. First fruits means that there are fruits coming after. They'll be coming on the last day. And on that last day, all those who believe will have come into being. All of those who will or have, they will all have been born. Right now, only the Lord knows who is yet to be conceived. Only the Lord knows who he is still going to have mercy on. He is patient, much more so than we. And so we say, not yet. However, we're not left without life, because Jesus gives you his life now. We saw him do that with Sawyer just a couple minutes ago. Her baptism was not just a symbol of death and life. It wasn't a mere remembrance of what our Lord has done for her. In that baptism, her old life was drowned. In that baptism, she died. We know she did because that's what Jesus says. His word has created everything. Light, waters, plants, animals, sun, moon, stars. That word has created you and me. By that word, Jesus has said, death, then life. Out of that baptism, our Lord has raised Sawyer to new life, a life of faith. Right now, she believes in Jesus. She might not be able to do a lot else yet, but she has faith, just exactly like ours. This is a faith that the Lord wants to feed and nurture and grow every day, every week, all her life. Just like he wants to feed you every day, every week, all your life. Because our Lord has created that same faith in you in your baptism. And he feeds that faith today as well. And he does so by that same promise, death, then life. Take eat, this is my body. Take drink, this is my blood. And every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But in this body and blood are something greater than death. In these is the forgiveness of sin. Sin of Adam and Eve that we inherited has been forgiven. Sin that we've committed since has been forgiven. Every last one of them. Even the ones you thought were too big for God to cover, ones you thought, no one can forgive that, he has. Even the sins that we thought were too small to be bothered with, and nobody's going to think that's bad, those are forgiven too, because the wages of every sin is death. The death of Jesus leads to life. The resurrection of Jesus is true. The resurrection of Jesus is for you. And that gives us a hope that the world can never have. Death, then life. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his resurrection, he has brought life and immortality to light. And that life is yours. Since he's done this, we get to joyfully shout, he is risen! He is risen indeed! Alleluia! Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.